You may be seated. I didn't realize I was going to have a spotlight on me this evening. You know, at Christmas time, I seem to always hear some humorous stories. And one, of course, is of a little girl who went to sit on Santa's lap, and he asked the obligatory question, "What would you like for Christmas?" And she looked at him, had a scowl on her face, and kind of a look of disbelief, and she said to him, "Didn't you get my text?" Well, there was a teacher who asked young Malcolm, "What do you do at Christmas time?" Malcolm got up in front of the class and he said, "Well, Miss Jones, my 12 brothers and sisters and I go to midnight mass, and we sing hymns, and then we come home very late and hang up our stockings, and then all excited we go to bed and wait for Santa Claus to bring us our toys." "Very nice, Malcolm," she said. "Now, Jimmy, what do you do at Christmas time?" "Well, Miss Jones, my sister and I also go to church with Mom and Dad, and we sing carols, and we come home very late, and we put cookies and milk by the chimney, and we hang up our stockings, and we can hardly sleep waiting for Santa Claus to bring us our toys." Realizing there were some Jewish boys in the class, she didn't want them to feel left out, so she said, "And Isaac, what do you do at Christmas?" Isaac said, "Well, Miss Jones, it's the same thing every year. Dad comes home from the office, we all pile into the Rolls Royce and drive to Dad's toy factory. When we get inside, we look at all the empty shelves and we begin to sing, 'What a friend we have in Jesus.'" "Then we all get on Dad's jet and we fly to the Bahamas." Well, I'm glad you didn't fly to the Bahamas tonight, but that you're here to celebrate the birth of Christ with us. Because when we think about Christmas, we often think about a baby in a manger. When we think about Christmas, we often think about giving. And we as Christians, of course, when we think about Christmas, we think, of course, of Jesus Christ. But really, you can't separate the two, the idea of giving from Jesus Christ. Because God and the Savior Jesus Christ are both giving. Certainly in the most famous passage in the New Testament is found in John 3:16, which says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Certainly we see that really is the heart of God. God is a giving God. God loves to give his love to us. He loves to give so many other things. But ultimately, he loved to give his Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, Scripture said that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, before we could do anything to earn it or deserve it, Christ was willing to die on our behalf. Certainly, he came as a ransom for us all, to make a way for us to have our sins forgiven, to be able to have a home in heaven, and to be able to have a relationship with God. We see the love and the giving of God further demonstrated in the death of Christ. Listen to how Jesus described his death. He said, "Greater love has no one than this, than that they lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you." Jesus gave up his life so that we could be friends with God, so that we could have eternal life. And he showed us that he has the ability to give us that eternal life by conquering death in a way no other person in all of human history has conquered death. He rose from the dead, never to die again. And so, if we were to boil down the commands of Jesus into just one command, we might look at John chapter 6, in which some Jews came to Jesus and asked him, "What must we do to do the works of God?" In other words, what must we do to be accepted by God? What do we have to do in order to get to heaven? How can we earn our way to heaven? Tell us what we need to do. And Jesus responded with these words, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." To believe in the one he has sent. In other words, Jesus was saying, if you want to do what God wants you to do, believe in me. I'm the one that the Father sent to this world. To believe in Jesus, of course, is not just to believe that he existed, but to believe that he came to this earth, he lived a perfect life in our place, he died on the cross to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins, so that we could have our sins forgiven and have a relationship with God. When we come to Christ, we invite him into our lives, and he comes to live inside of us through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Christ's representative within us. And when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, He creates a new creation within us. We are a new person, the Bible says, as a new creation inside of us, because the Holy Spirit transforms our human spirit and makes us acceptable to God. And so when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, He creates a new creation. And that's what happened with the Virgin Mary. When the Holy Spirit came into the womb of the Virgin Mary, He created a new creation. Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And we see also that the Holy Spirit didn't stop working at that point. In fact, when Jesus was baptized, we see that the Holy Spirit began to anoint Him for the ministry to which God had called Him. And the Holy Spirit continued to empower Christ throughout His ministry to do the things that He wanted to do and He needed to do. Jesus, it says, gave up all the rights and privileges of being God to become a human being. And as He became a human being, the Holy Spirit helped Him to do the things that God wanted Him to do. The Holy Spirit would anoint Jesus at His baptism to begin His giving ministry. And we see that Jesus gave so much throughout His life. He gave healing. He gave deliverance. He gave love to others. And He gave the ability for people to know that God cared for them. Whenever the Holy Spirit is involved, He imparts to us a giving spirit. Followers of Jesus give to build up the kingdom of God, and they also give in order to help others in their lives. The giving spirit can be quenched, however, by all of the distractions around us. In our fast-paced and high-decibel society, God's still small voice can be difficult to hear. In fact, many people wonder, does God still speak today? Does He still speak to me today? We find ourselves being overloaded with the media. The media brings too much of the whole world into our phones, into our tablets, into our computers, into our televisions, into our radio, into our lives. Many days we feel not so much like a bank from which people are taking money out or withdrawals, but rather we feel like that we're garbage cans into which people are dumping things. Tonight the gospel lesson tells us to take our minds off of the media overload with which we're bombarded, to turn our hearts away from the overstimulation around us, to turn away from the secularization of our lives by our society, and to turn our hearts away from the overcommitment that we often find ourselves involved in. The gospel tells us then to turn to the manger. For in the manger we see a woman who gives birth to a child, and that child is the Son of God. The mystery of faith tells us that God became a human being in the person of Jesus, not just to show us how to live our lives, but also so that He could become the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins, for yours and mine. All who put their trust in His salvation will be reconciled to a loving Heavenly Father who has been constantly seeking to bring people into His kingdom from the very beginning of their lives. When we think about Christmas, we often think of a little baby in a manger, but we don't perhaps think beyond that. What's the significance of that little baby coming into this world? There was a story of a snowy Christmas Eve, and inside a warm house, the Christmas tree was cheerfully ablaze with lights and surrounded by presents of all sorts. The wife and the children were getting dressed and ready for church that Christmas Eve. And when they were ready, they implored the father, "Dad, won't you come with us to Christmas Eve services? We really love you. We want you to be with us." And he said, "No, I don't believe in that religion nonsense. It's all a bunch of garbage." The wife had really been trying to share with her husband for many years why Jesus came into this world, what He had to offer, and why it was so important to believe in Him. But he would constantly just say, "Nonsense, I don't believe in that." Well, certainly, the family left for church that night, and the man looked outside. He saw the snowy surroundings outside the window, and he turned back toward the fire. But as he did so, he saw something out of the corner of his eye. He saw three little cats walking in front of the window. And he thought to himself, "Those fools, they're going to freeze out there." So he got his coat and his hat on and his gloves, and he opened the door and he yelled out at the cats, "Cats, come in here. It's nice and warm. I have food for you in here." but they just ran away. So he went into the kitchen and he got some morsels of food, and he thought he would lay a trail of food out to where the cats were. And so he did that and put all the crumbs out there, and he turned back to go inside thinking that they would follow him by gathering the crumbs up and coming inside. But when he looked back, they had just run away. Well, I did everything for them, he thought to himself. What more could I do? I could become a cat myself and in order to reach them and save them. And if I did become a cat, then I could tell them and show them. They would have to believe in me then, unless they were fools. Just then, as he began to open the door of his house, he heard the church bells ring. And he went inside and he knelt down in front of the fire and he began to weep. Because for the first time he realized why Jesus had to come into this world. For the first time he realized the true meaning of Christmas. Some of you here today may, for the first time, have realized why we celebrate Christmas, why Christ came into this world. And maybe others of you here who really, for the first time, realize that God loves you, that He cares for you. There may still be others who say, you know, I realize for the first time that there's a reason that I can have hope in this world that is so devoid of hope. The rest of our service really is about the gospel message of why we celebrate Christmas. It's all about Jesus Christ. And certainly, as we look at the rest of the service, that service, I think, compels us to perhaps make a decision. Maybe if you've never put your trust in Christ, you've never invited Him to be your Savior, maybe when you come to the altar rail, you might want to do that tonight. You might want to say, I'd like to put my trust in You for my salvation, but also I'd like You to guide me and lead me in my life. How many of you here may have already done that? But perhaps you might be thinking to yourself, you know, I'm not really as close to Christ as I once was. I really don't have that strong relationship that I want to have with Him. But when you come to the altar rail, perhaps you might want to rededicate your life to Christ. Whatever the case may be, when we come to receive the body and blood of Christ, we're reminded that we're serving a God who is a giving God, a God who is a loving God, a God who so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for sending Your Son Jesus into this world. We thank You that He lived the sort of life that You accepted as the perfect life to pay for our sins. Lord, we ask that You would speak to the hearts of any of those here tonight that may not have entered into Your kingdom yet. Would You not only give them Your Holy Spirit, but also fill them so that they might have the power to do the things You want them to do throughout the rest of their lives. For those of us who might want to rededicate ourselves tonight, Lord, would You give us not only the power of Your Spirit to live our lives for You, but also to be willing to give like You gave for the benefit of others and for the benefit of Your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.